Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the third and final hour of our live broadcast this evening. I'm your host, James Edwards. It's Saturday evening, February 2nd, and we're broadcasting from our flagship studio in Memphis, Tennessee, going out to the AMFM affiliates of the Liberty News Radio Network and simulcasting online at thepoliticalcesspool.org. Jared Taylor, editor of American Renaissance, you know he was our guest just a couple of weeks ago. We were showcasing and highlighting the forthcoming American Renaissance Conference. Don't forget, that'll be in Nashville, Tennessee, near Nashville, Tennessee, the first week of April, and we'll talk a little bit more about that this hour. It's not often that we have the same featured guest twice in a month, but I'll tell you, I had to have Jared back on the show this evening, and thankfully he agreed. He's coming on this evening to discuss an article that he penned, which is, as far as I'm concerned, the definitive response from our perspective on the issue of women serving in combat. He wrote it for Talkie Mag, the Talkie Mag website, and he sent me an email, and I read it and posted it immediately to our website, and we had to get him on to talk about it. Jared, thanks for working us in your schedule this evening again.
Oh, it's always a pleasure to be on your show, James.
Well, again, the pleasure is all ours, as I always say and as I certainly mean. But you wrote the article, and it's entitled Women in Combat, Another Nail in the Coffin. And Jared, you and I share many lamentations. There is a lot going on in the country today that we take issue with, and for good reason. But like you, this issue, for whatever reason, really got under my skin. And I don't know why it infuriated me a little bit more than all of our other standard fare. Maybe it's because I have a daughter. I know you're a family man as well. But there's just something about, I don't know if it's just the sheer absurdity of the matter, the degeneracy that has to be involved in a country sending its mothers and daughters to war. Jared, help me make sense of it. I'm asking.
Well, you know, it affected me in exactly the same way. You and I look at this country, and we can pick out so many policies that are so dangerous, so stupid, so suicidal, and yet it's hard to think of one that is quite so spectacularly and obviously stupid as this one. You can make various arguments about how, well, you know, if you fix up the environment, people will do better, and genes don't count for everything. You can say, well, there's certain blacks who can do this, that, and the other, so let's hope that the rest of them can catch up. There are various arguments you can make. But when it comes to putting women in combat, anybody who has been through adolescence knows that there is such a spectacular difference between men and women, and as you say, the idea of putting the people who have wombs, the people who are childbearers, into combat to protect the nation, that's just putting the whole thing on its head. No, the degeneracy of this is so spectacular, so shocking, it really got under my skin, just the same way it did you.
Well, and my knee-jerk reaction was obviously because of nature. They're not physically as strong. They're not mentally as tough in those sorts of situations. And women certainly have many natural strengths and attributes that we don't have. And that's the way it was made to be. But this isn't their place, to say the very least. And, you know, I just said, you know, some basic talking points. You know, how far would the Army have gotten up Normandy Beach had it been a bunch of girls storming the compounds? You think things like that. But that was just some stuff off the top of my head. You gave this a very in-depth and appropriate treatment in your article. And I'm telling you, folks, if anyone ever asks you your opinion on this and you want to clearly and profoundly articulate the point of view that I'm sure everyone listening to this broadcast shares, you got to read Jared's article. It's on our website. We're going to be talking about it tonight. Jared, for the sake of this interview, I don't know if we could do any better than just have you read it like an audiobook. Just read it start to finish, because it would cover everything without covering the same thing twice or repeating ourselves. Well, where do we start, though, when you really want to start peeling the layers of this onion?
Well, that's a good question. It goes back quite a ways. When I was doing the research on this, I was quite surprised to see that back in 1994, the Army had done a test of men and women to see just whether or not women really are weaker than men. And guess what? They discovered that they are. And they concluded that, no, the average woman cannot be even trained up to be as strong as the average man. And they did all kinds of tests, and they concluded that, well, what your grandmother told you was always true. Men are stronger than women. And why would they have to even do such a thing? But the conclusion, even back in 1994, even back then, was, well, this does not mean that women should not be put into the most demanding situations. The solution is to change the way the job is done. And one of the examples they had was, well, women can't carry wounded men in stretchers as well as men can. Well, the solution is to put a harness on the stretcher so that women can carry them with a harness over their shoulders. And that way they can do it a little bit better than they would without the harness. Now, this, you know, the idea here is you're going to change every job in the military, every job in the Army, to make a woman do it. Well, the fact is there are some jobs that cannot be changed. The jobs that involve marching, carrying, lifting, and killing, those jobs simply cannot be changed. But that was the mentality even back in 1994. How can we change the Army so as to get more and more women into every possible position? I mean, the rot goes back a long way, James.
Well, I'm thinking right now, my mind's drifting to a woman in a combat scenario. She's in the trenches, people being shot, you know, arms and legs being blown apart in front of her. And this is the reality of war. She could no more take that than I could give birth to a child. It just, you know, the argument's almost so simplistic. Jared, it defies belief that we're having this conversation. You know,
yes,
I was sharing early in the broadcast, I know we're coming up on a break and we're going to continue this, but I was born in 80, so a great deal of the radical egalitarian movement had already manifested itself and had been achieved. But even when I was born in 1980 and into the early 90s as I was growing up, the ideas of homosexuals getting married, women serving in combat, well, that can never happen, just as though my grandfather would said, you know, interracial marriage will never happen. And yet,
right,
here it is. It's astonishing that, you know, for all the reasons we could have you on the show, that this is the reason we're having you on the show.
Yes, it just makes you shake your head in dismay. And it's, you know, there's so many things so spectacularly wrong with it. It's not even as though we have a shortage of men who are willing to do this. If we were fighting a desperate war and we needed one last regiment to win the war, and all the men were dead or all the men were 85 years old, then in desperation you might conceive of such a thing if it was going to save a country. But that's
away.
Not the case. That's not the case at all. We're winding down. We've got plenty of men who are doing this.
Jared, hang on, my friend. We're going to come back with more. We're going to dig into some of the meat of your article. Stay tuned, everybody.
As the United States boldly stepped forward in the glorious light provided by its new Constitution in 1787, the nations of the earth were in awe of the newfound strength and hope of this free land. Today, the nation stands at a crossroads. A divergence from the original intent put forth in the United States Constitution has brought grave threats to our beloved nation. A miracle is needed if the United States is to survive. That miracle is again the pure application of the United States Constitution. I'm Scott Bradley. In my To Preserve the Nation book and lecture series, I bring forth truths that will help raise up a new generation of statesmen like those noble Americans who founded this land. Vigorous application of these principles will invigorate and restore the nation, and we may become again the freest, most prosperous, most respected, and happiest nation on earth. Visit topreservethenation.com to begin that restoration.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here.
Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
If you're at all like me, you have a tough time remembering appointments and events. But ladies and gentlemen, I have the answer. It's a premier service on the internet called Memo to Me. It's free. You ought to try it. Now I never miss the honey-do items for my wife or the important business meetings. They have strict privacy protection. That means they will release your email address to no one ever. You will not get spam because of Memo to Me. Unmatched dependability. Ladies and gentlemen, these folks have been around since 1998, and they are absolutely up online all the time to send you your reminders and appointments. They have rock-solid reliability. They have 5 redundant internet connections, diesel-powered generators backing up the system. I'm telling you, Memo to Me is the premier reminder service on the internet. It's free. You ought to give it a try. And, oh, by the way, if you're not available at your computer to get your email reminders, they can even send a reminder to your cell phone or pager. I use MemoToMe.com daily and highly recommend it to you. MemoToMe.com. Memo to Me.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Hey, Jared Taylor, my featured guest tonight. Folks, do yourself a favor and look up the article, Women in Combat, Another Nail in the Coffin. Jared wrote it for Talkie Mag. It's on our website. It's in other places as well. And Jared, I'm going to just skip around your article and know particular order and talk about different passages that you've written. We've covered this first one a little bit already, but I really want to punctuate it. And this is what it reads. When Leon Panetta made his announcement, President Obama was delighted, you write, and this is what Obama had to say. Today, every American can be proud of what our military has done, that it will grow even stronger with our mothers, wives, sisters, and daughters playing a greater role in protecting the country we love. To which you responded, he got it exactly backward. Men go to war precisely so that their mothers, wives, sisters, and daughters don't have to go. War is ultimately about national survival. Half the men could die in combat, but if women survive, the men who are left can keep the nation going. A society that sends its child bearers into combat has gone mad. And really, I don't know what more you can say. You've said a lot more. That really, in a nutshell, says it all. And how could anyone disagree with that notion?
I just don't know. I just don't know. The idea, one of the ideas behind this is that if you want to advance in the military, having had combat experience is a very important part of being promoted. And if we say, well, no, women can't have combat experience, then that means there will be fewer women generals. And so the logic of this, the logic of some sort of sex equality in the number of generals we have in the military, requires that we do something like this that flies in the face of human nature, history, common sense, something that is as deep as human beings themselves. Yes, simply because women are excluded from combat and they can't be promoted as quickly, we have to violate one of the most basic fundamental laws of life itself. No, there's just no explaining it, James. To me, it's just an inexplicable riddle.
In many scenarios, Jared, many interviews we've done, we've been talking to you about genetics and scientific facts that back up our ideas and heartfelt opinions on certain issues. But this, you almost have to break it down to a kindergartner level, because a kindergartner could get this right, whereas our media and cultural elite and politicians have gotten it so wrong. We're talking about women in combat. You know, it was a few months ago, I guess, I can recall talking on this program about the first lesbian that had been promoted to the rank of general. So you look back, Robert E. Lee was a general. So we've gone from a country that used to have men of the character and integrity of Robert E. Lee to having lesbians as generals. I know that's a little bit separate issue, equally preposterous, of course, than what we're talking about now, but they call that progress, and they call women in combat progress.
That's right.
Do you think that the majority of Americans are on board with this? I mean, what percentage? I mean, that's a rhetorical question. What percentage would you say if you had to take a stab in the dark?
I would guess that if this were put to some kind of ballot initiative, it would go down in defeat by 70 to 30 or 65, 35 or something like that. It's hard for me to believe that the majority of Americans think that this could possibly be a good idea. And I'll give you an example of just how completely out of touch our so-called military leaders are. Well, one of the things that I put in this story that shocked me as much as anything was this General Martin Dempsey guy. He's the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff. He is worried because there are more and more cases of rape and sexual harassment in the military. Happens more and more. And this guy is such a fool that he thinks that putting women in combat will help solve the problem of sexual harassment. He says, I have to believe that the more we can treat people equally, the more likely they are to treat each other equally. He thinks that putting women in the foxholes out with those super testosterone-charged guys who kill people for a living, and they're suddenly going to think, oh, my gosh, I better not lay a hand on this girl. My head is spinning. My head is absolutely spinning.
I laugh to keep from crying. You wrote in your article, and I was about to refer to that very passage, Jared, great minds thinking alike and all that. You wrote that it's certifiably insane, and you're being generous to call it that. Sam Bushman, who owns the network that syndicates the show, and we were talking about this earlier in the program too, he said they might as well just call this Operation Let Them Get Raped. And that's exactly what's going to happen, and that's what you've written here. And I read directly from your article, a man in fighting trim runs on testosterone. That's what makes him an effective killer, but it also makes him think about sex every minute of the day. Putting women on the battlefield is like shoving the cheerleaders into the locker room with the team after a football game and locking the doors. You're exactly right. And Jared, you're just talking about the propensity for rape that will come from the men in our own army. Imagine what will happen to these women if they fall into the hands of a certain enemy.
I know. No, you don't know where to stop in the insanity of all this. I suppose we might as well read what this guy said. The one historical attempt actually to seriously put women in combat was done by the Israelis. And a fellow named John Luddy, he wrote a Heritage Foundation report on this, and the way he put it was this. He says, in the one historical case where women were deliberately placed in combat in Israel during the 1948 Arab-Israeli War, they were removed within weeks. The reason? It was clear that men reacted to the presence of women by trying to protect them and aiding them when they became casualties instead of continuing to attack. The Israelis also learned that unit morale was seriously damaged when men saw women killed and injured on the battlefield. In other words, women are not only incapable of doing the job because they're not as strong, they're not as aggressive, the fact that they're there prevents men from doing the job. One of the other things that was found by the Israelis is that the sound of a wounded woman screaming, that just drives men nuts. They can take it if a man is howling in pain, but a woman screaming in pain, there's something about that, that deep down in the instincts of a man, he's going to drop anything to stop that. And what happens is men will take tremendous crazy risks to protect the women and to try to get them away from the enemy if they're captured. It is just nuts, through and through nuts.
Well, Jared, I read again from your article, and you're exactly right. And in this segment following the next commercial break, our final segment together, and I'm going to ask you about the consequences to the morale of the men. But yeah. You write this just about the physical disparity and discrepancies. You still have to run up hills with an 80-pound pack, live in dirt for weeks, and hump 96-pound, 155-millimeter artillery shells onto the back of a truck. Your buddies count on you to carry them out of the fight if they're wounded, and they can't count on someone with half the upper body strength of a man. I mean, again, Jared, this is so simplistic when you pare it down to the lowest common denominator. How are our leaders, if and I'll use that term loosely, getting it so wrong unless their sole intent with this is to further weaken the country?
You know, I can't imagine that these people deliberately want to weaken the country. I think that what they care about is the approval of liberals, and they know in their bones that this is going to weaken the military. They know in their bones that there are going to be more casualties. They know this, but their careers are more important, and they think that they can leave some sort of legacy by continuing all of this liberal egalitarian fantasy. I think that's what it boils down to. I don't think they deliberately want to make our country weaker. I think that that is something that they're willing to do in order to puff themselves up.
All right, hold on, everybody. One more segment with Jared coming up right after the break.
Exposing corruption, informing citizens, pursuing liberty. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Hello, everyone. James Edwards here. Are you sick and tired of liberals and race hustlers and the media calling you a racist just because you oppose Obama's policies? Well, my friend, those days are over. After you read Racism Schmacism, you'll never again fear being called the R-word. I invite you to discover why every conservative in America needs a copy of my explosive new book. Racism Schmacism has received much critical acclaim and will equip you with the key to unlock their socio-political nuclear bomb once and for all. Order your copy today by visiting the official website of the Political Cesspool radio program, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Proceeds of each sale go to help keeping our award-winning show on the air, and they make great gifts for your conservative friend or family member. Buy Racism Schmacism today at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org.
Are you worried about America? Do you fear the power of the Obama brigades to take away your rights? The Obama presidency is the most radical left-wing administration in American history. Our constitutional liberties are in danger. What can you do? Join the Council of Conservative Citizens. For over 20 years, the CFCC has fought for the rights and ideals of the European American majority. The CFCC has won legal and political battles to protect your heritage and your liberties. The CFCC advocates strong state governments over the power of Washington, D.C. to rule your life. The CFCC believes in an American-first foreign and domestic policy which opposes globalism and one-world government. The CFCC advocates racial integrity as God's natural order. Visit our website today at www.cfcc.org and join fellow European Americans in the fight for our people.
Each week, the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist conservative radio program, hits the airwaves to bring you the other side of the news and to report on events which are vital to your welfare but are hushed up or distorted by the mainstream media. However, to continue doing this, we need your support. Go online at www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a safe and secure donation. If you prefer not to make an online donation, you can send us a check or money order to the address on the website. No matter which way you choose, the Political Cesspool needs your support. Go online to www.thepoliticalcesspool.org and make a donation today.
We've been working hard.
get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool, call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
All right, everybody. Again, Jared Taylor, my good friend, regularly featured guest, editor of American Renaissance. Check him out at amren.com. And don't forget to make your plans to join us at the American Renaissance Conference being held near Nashville, Tennessee, April 5th through the 7th, coming up just a couple of months away. Hey, we're already into February. Still plenty of time for you to make your plans and arrangements to get there. And at amren.com, you can get all the details. And we're going to have Jared plug that again at the very end of this segment. But Jared, again, I was planning in advance of receiving the email from you and learning about your incredible article on covering this issue tonight. And then once I read it and I, you know, asked you to come on, it just made sense. But I'm going to read another quick paragraph from the from your work, Soldiers. And this goes back to just the differences, the natural differences between man and woman that apparently don't apply on the battlefield. Soldiers may have to kill or be killed at close quarters. All your enemy needs is an extra inch of reach, an extra pound of muscle, or an extra burst of speed, and he will use that advantage to kill you. No one is talking about putting women on professional sports teams. Hey, we might lose a game. But the military is now asking for weak links that could get the whole squad killed. What more can you say?
Yep. No, everybody knows that the idea of trying to put women on a professional football team or a professional hockey team is nuts. And yet the risks there are only that you're going to lose a game. Here, we're talking about people's lives at stake, and we're taking this kind of risk. Again, it passes all understanding, James.
When you make that compare and contrast, hey, it's so ridiculous. You're not going to see any of them suiting up in the Super Bowl tomorrow. You're going to see some cheerleaders. You're not going to see any wearing helmets and pads and going out there and getting tackled.
That's right.
But
that's
then right. You say it's okay for war, where the consequences are life and death, and far more strenuous. And you're talking
that's
about
right.
You don't want to lose a game. How about a nation being conquered? You know, that's
exactly
what you're putting on the line. And when you compare and contrast it like you've done just there, Jared, in that one paragraph, really brings the absurdity into sharp focus.
You know, there was a hint of what Leon Panetta was thinking in the New York Times article that reported on his announcement. It said that, well, Leon Panetta has only been in office for about 18 months, but by signing this order to put women in combat, that will give him a legacy. And I thought, that explains it. He can go out of office having made a big change, and he's confident that future Americans will look back at Leon Panetta and say, wow, what a great man. He opened up combat to women. Well, if this nation has a future, if it has a future at all, it will be a future of people who will look back at Leon Panetta and say, what a fool, what a degenerate to have done such a stupid, stupid, unnatural, crazy thing.
You know, I do believe in Occam's razor, and that makes far more sense when you just to hear you say that. That's it. I mean, that makes more sense than are they purposefully trying to weaken it? You know, that borders on conspiracy.
No, I don't think so.
That makes more sense what you just said. I mean,
yeah.
That's the simplest answer, so on and so forth. Well, Jared, it amazes me that we've been able to spend 40 minutes talking about this issue. You talk about women in combat. Well, that's ridiculous. Next.
Yeah.
There's not much to say.
Right.
Unfortunately, we've been forced to try and talk out the issue here on the show tonight because not only is it being debated, it's happened. It's happening.
That's right.
It's taking place
That's
around
right.
us.
But you know, this is something, according to the Constitution, it is the Congress that regulates the armed services. And in the fine print of the way this regulation works, if Congress got a vote together and said, no, hold on, we're not going to let this happen, Congress could overrule Leon Panetta tomorrow.
Yeah, but
see, I see. Yeah?
That's the
I
thing,
see.
Jared.
No,
I was talking about this during a break here in the studio earlier in the show.
Right.
Where's the Republican Party? Okay, where's the supposed conservatives? Where is any resistance to this? There's not even they might be complaining about it. Some people, I haven't even heard that. But where's the resistance to this?
Exactly. Here, we're supposed to be living in a Christian country, a Republican country, a country that cares about its future. And no, this thing went over. It seems to have caused hardly a ripple. I agree with you. It is astonishing that the Republicans have just rolled over and played dead on this. But of course, what issue have they not rolled over and played dead on? When it comes to homosexuals in the military, homosexual marriage, they squeak about that a little bit. Amnesty's coming up, and now the Republicans seem to be trying to see if they can outrace the Democrats to the finish line on this thing. Well, the Republicans, they are just a contemptible party.
Well, I mean, that there is no resistance in Congress to an issue of this magnitude, wow, is all you can say. And I'll tell you, the Democrats, Obama is so bold. If there is one issue that, and I use this word at my own peril, is if there's one issue that conservatives or red state Americans can kind of get together on and fight on a unified front, our strongest issue, I would say, is Second Amendment issues. And Obama's going for that. They are so bold and so confident in the weak and absentee leadership of the Republican Party that he is saying, I'm going to go after your strongest issue. And I don't put it past them that they're going to win it at all.
No, I don't put it past them either. Although that is one issue on which I see at least some attempt at organized resistance. But compared to something like women in combat or the displacement of whites through immigration, that to me, frankly, much as I think guns are important, much as they're going to have to pry them from my cold dead hands,
right.
I would rather they were fighting on survival of a white majority rather than on I'd rather see all of this organization stopping amnesty than making it so that I can keep my assault rifle. But, I mean, this is obviously a terrible choice that you'd have to make. Obviously, you want both things to turn out right.
Well, you know, listen, if you could roll back the clocks to the 1950s, people didn't lock their doors. That's not a story. That's not just one of old grandpa's stories, walking up 2 miles to school every day in the snow uphill both ways. I mean, people really didn't. And well, you didn't have to. So, you know, guns wouldn't be such a big issue if you had a homogenous nation, and we could follow that rabbit trail for a while. But, Jared, we're running out of time. This has been a tough interview. It's been one of the most dreary we've ever had you on for, under the circumstances of the topic at hand. But let's spend the last minute or two together talking about something that will be entirely and wholly uplifting and positive, and that is the American Renaissance Conference. Folks, catch Jared's appearance earlier in January. You can get all the details. Again, first week of April near Nashville, amren.com has all the details. Jared, I guess all I would ask you is, how have things progressed since your last appearance with us with regards to the planning and all that?
Things are going very well. Registrations are rolling in. I'm happy to say we're going to have a good crowd. And the only thing that I can say is that there is absolutely nothing like an American Renaissance Conference to renew your faith in your fellow American. It is just such a psychological boost to be in a room with so many people who get it. There's a kind of an energy and electricity in the room, and we have great speakers lined up, too. So I think this is going to be a spectacular event. And as always happens when I'm on your program talking about this, we get a burst of registrants from people who've been listening to you. And I encourage all of those who are listening to go to amren.com and sign up, because this is really going to be a great event.
I got a letter, now that you mentioned it, Jared, just this week, a couple of days ago, from a gentleman in Arkansas who said he was going to register as a result of our conversation a few weeks ago. So maybe they're still trickling in. Hopefully we'll get a few more after tonight. But folks, if you want all the details, comprehensive report on what you can expect at the Amren Conference, listen to Jared's interview with us earlier in January. You'll find it at the broadcast archives, or as he just mentioned, go to amren.com. There's a lot of reasons you should be there. Hey, you might even find people there that don't think teenage girls should be serving on the front lines of the military. Who knows? Imagine that. They'll probably
just
be
imagine
there.
That.
Well, Jared, listen, my friend. Hey, great article. Thank you for sending it my way and for opening my eyes to it. Folks, read it. We've talked about a few paragraphs in it. Read the whole thing. You can find it at my website and others. Jared Taylor, Women in Combat, another nail in the coffin, it certainly is. Jared, thank you, my friend, for coming on, and we'll talk to you again soon, I am sure.
Oh, James, it's always a pleasure. Thanks so much.
Have a great night. Well, there he goes, everybody. Jared Taylor, reminding you again to check out the website, amren.com, for more information about this comment. We're going to take a break. We're back to wrap up the entire show right after this. Stay tuned.
Don't go away. The Political Cesspool guys will be back right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life for me.
When camping overnight, your tent is one of the most important items you'll have with you. That's why it's vital to have a quality tent that is easy to carry and will withstand the elements. Teton Sports offers top quality tents for any of your camping needs. The Outfitter XXL cot tent weighs only 4 pounds, but provides plenty of space for a comfortable night's sleep. Teton Sports also has a 6-man tent, which weighs only 14 pounds for camping overnight with friends and family. Each tent is easy to assemble and is easily transportable, and each is made with 1200mm coated polyester, providing strong and durable protection from weather and cold. Teton Sports also offers sleeping bags, backpacks, duffels, and more to ensure a quality outdoor experience. Wherever your outdoor adventures take you, you will be safe and comfortable in a quality tent from Teton Sports. Look for Teton Sports products at Amazon.com, Sportsman's Warehouse, Dick's Sporting Goods, Wholesale Sports, or visit TetonSports.com.
Yeah?
Did you want to see me, sir?
Well, I did, but now that I do, I'm not so sure.
Sir?
Johnson, I got a mission for you that could change your life.
Oh, good, sir.
It involves traveling halfway around the world without so much as half a clue of where you're going or what you're going to do when you get there.
Situation normal, sir?
Uh-huh. Right, I'll be leading this mission, Johnson, so I'll be telling you what to do.
You, sir?
That's right, Johnson, and I say first things first.
Oh, good plan, sir.
And what I say is first is food. Always remember that, Johnson. Food is a big deal.
Sir, my brother-in-law can get us a really good deal on some surplus MREs.
Johnson, if you've got half a brain and that empty head of yours, you'll call the freeze-dry guy like I did. That food is better for you, it rehydrates faster, and it's good, Johnson. And it keeps for up to 30 years.
Will we be gone that long, sir?
I hope not. Now get your supplies organized and meet me down to the pier at dawn on Sunday. We sail at sunrise.
Yes, sir.
This adventure is brought to you by the freeze-dry guy. Call 866-404-3663 or visit freezedryguy.com.
Are you familiar with the term vigor? Strength in body and mind? He pursued his tennis game with vigor, for example? Well, I hadn't, but I learned about it from Kirk Crosby. All right, and he actually let me take a scientifically proven free vigor test. And I got 13 out of 32, not very good. But I worked on it with him, and believe it or not, now I have a 29 out of 32 and improving vigor score. You say, Sam, what on earth is this scientific vigor score, huh? My response is you got to take the free test, available now. Get a hold of Kirk Crosby to learn about it. The number is 801-669-2211. That's 801-669-2211. Or email Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com. That's Kurt, C-U-R-T, at libertyroundtable.com for your free vigor test today. Kurt, libertyroundtable.com, or 801-669-2211. Vigor test free, scientifically proven today.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's dime, toll free at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
It's been a catastrophic night in the cesspool with the stories we've had to cover, but thankfully, the great Jared Taylor was in the trenches with us. Nothing but men in the trenches. We don't even have women co-hosts or contributors. But now they can go to war. Well, anyway, could you imagine somebody going up to George Washington and saying, hey, George, guess what? You know, all this you're fighting for, fast forward to the year 2013, and women are going to be doing what you're doing right now. And he would say, what? You know, that's not funny. Don't joke like that. I mean, how... how far we've fallen. It's been a fast, fast decline. I'm not talking about from Washington's day, just going back to the 50s and look, you know, you American culture. Yeah, the Civil War was bad and we lost it as far as I'm concerned. But you can go all the way to the mid 50s and American culture was still pretty much intact. I mean, we took a few hits, wasn't as good as it once was, but from 54 to now, I think you can, that's the, where the nosedive began. And it's, how much further can we fall? How much further can we fall? Well, somebody that could answer that, Peter Scoop Stanton, our correspondent from the Washington, D.C. area. He was in Washington for Inauguration Week, and he saw some things that probably won't surprise you, but we'll tell you about them anyway. Scoop, what's going on tonight, buddy?
Not much, James. I'm playing a little bit of hooky. I'm at undisclosed location, and I might have to leave at a drop of a hat because just like everybody else that listens to the festival and works for the festival, I have a real job. But
yeah, imagine that. You know, that's one of the reasons you haven't been able to call in during your normal last segment of the show. That's your segment. And, you know, for the last few weeks, you've been not AWOL, but you've been missing because your shift changed. You got to work. Our enemies don't, but we do. But you were in a, as we say, undisclosed location. You got to see a lot of the who, what, where, when, and why of inauguration. Take us back a couple of weeks and let us know what you saw as our man on the ground.
Okay. First off, luckily, I was not at the inauguration, but the days prior leading up to inauguration was a mess. First, the Constitution requires the president and vice president to be sworn on the 20th of January. And the president and vice president were sworn on that day. However, Obama and his ego wanted the dog and pony show to go down on Monday, the 21st of January, which is Martin Luther King Day. I guess the president wanted to push Martin Luther King out of the limelight, which he did, because that day, the 21st, is all Barack Obama and barely a mention about MLK. And the inauguration had areas secured near the Capitol with people with invitation or tickets. Most of it came with a price tag. This is a public event funded by the taxpayers with public security, Secret Service, Capitol Police, DC Police, everybody and their brother, but it still costs people money to go to certain areas. But I'm sure the GOP does certain things. But the people that came into town were off the chain. First off, the white people that came in, they were like zombies. I can't describe it over the phone what they look like, but they just look like zombies. They're like, how do these people know that their taxes are going up and your civil rights are going down, going the wayside? But look, most of these people that did show up, the white people, were not working class like myself or union members. Those white people and the blacks thought Obama was a god or a savior, like Jimmy Fox did. And I could go on and on as why they have manure for brains, but you already know that. I have to ride the metro system here in D.C. to go to different facilities, and these people were just off the chain. Getting around the D.C. metro system is a little bit hard, but these people wanted hand and foot service. God bless the people that work for the metro system because I don't think I could handle it. For me and my job, part of my job is handling vending machines. I'm not going to say which ones because obviously to be a call to either Coca-Cola or Pepsi-Cola company. But anyways, people lost some money in these certain vending machines. And one lady was actually crying to me. And she said, I lost money and I got to get my money. I said, ma'am, give me your name and address and my company will send you the money. It wasn't that much
yeah, what was money. It, 50 cents?
And then, say again?
I said, what was it, 50 cents?
No, it was a couple of dollars. But she was literally crying, and the person that was sent to assist her could not do assist her because this lady was adamant about us giving her money. We, you know, by company policy, we're not allowed to touch the money because, you know, keeping honest people more honest. Also in the transit system, a lady was wearing a full-length gown, pushing a baby carriage with two small dogs in the baby carriage. And
Scoops, if you're wondering what that sound is, Scoops calling in from the back of a squad car right now, but they allowed him to do the show before they book him.
Right. And she was coming into the system with the train system with two small dogs. It was a long an evening gown. She was going to go up to the convention center with the baby carriage and two small dogs for the inauguration ball. And she was playing with the transit people without her fare card not working. But you can't go to the inauguration ball with two small dogs, so I'm sure Secret Service had a thing about that. Anyways, it turns out she was from San Francisco, California. So.
Yeah, I think you told me about this story. Now, was I mistaken? I thought somebody had the card. They were trying to sell tickets, and it was a free event. Well, I mean, was there some of that going on, some scalping? Or
That I don't know. Again, I try to stay out of the district as best I can. But and people riding the train, the trains were overloaded. People putting the carts on the seats so people can't sit down. People standing on the seats. People wearing Obama stuff. These are the most self-centered, self-righteous people you ever met in your life. And these are Obama supporters. And, you know, a lot of these people were younger than myself. And I worry about the next generation. We're sunk.
Well, basically, the point we're trying to drive home tonight is that Scoop Stanton lives there in D.C., and he had a bird's-eye view of the dregs of it's hard to fill D.C. with the dregs of society. Many of them already live there to begin with. But the others, the people who voted for Obama, which are the dregs of society, descended upon the district. And basically, you got to see the freak show, right, Scoop?
Yep. And, I mean, I hate the people that live in this town, but the people that came into town made these people, like, you know, political cesspool fans. You know, laid back down to earth. It was absolutely disgusting. And
well,
I'm sure if Romney came to town, it'd be more of the same. Because, except they take their own private car instead of riding the subway system.
Well, anybody that could be so enthused over either of those two candidates to pay money to travel to Washington to see him get inaugurated, there's something wrong with those people. And you just don't want to be around people that are mentally disturbed, as those people would have to be, to get passionate about either of those two. Anyway, Scoop, you've got a story to tell. You saw it. You lived through it. At least you survived it. There's that.
Thankfully, because the transit system was just overloaded. But Michael Saylor is right. Liberalism is a mental disorder because millions of them people came to town.
Well, at least you made it. At least you were able to call in. Your text messages to me, as they always are, were a little more salty than the commentary we could provide this evening, and a few more obscene details that we could give about some of the things you witnessed. But go ahead and tell the sergeant he can take you on downtown now that you're done with the interview. We're out of time. But, hey, listen, you know, it's your segment. You get something you want to talk about, you call in. The last 15 minutes are always yours. I know you have to work third shift now, but if you can ever go hide in the janitor's closet or whatever, you know, give the show a call, and we'll be waiting for the irregular and irreverent correspondence of Peter Scoop Stanton.
Yep, and irresponsible, and unprepared, and unprofessional, and every other outstanding adjective.
Just like this show. So that's why you're on the show, Pete. You know, we hired you for that reason. To your free position. All right, buddy. Well, we love you, and you take care there. Be safe in D.C. It's hard to be safe in D.C. as it is hard to be safe in Memphis, but we find a way. And we'll talk to you next time.
Okay. Have a good night, everybody.
All right. There he goes, Peter Scoop Stanton. And that ends the show for tonight. Next week, we're going to be playing a tape. I don't want anybody to think we've been taken off the air. I have to go out of town. We've got a veritable MASH unit going on here. Not only is Winston Smith deaf, as we all know, he has suffered another medical setback this week. The health of Bill Rowland has taken a turn for the worse. And we ask you, ladies and gentlemen, to very sincerely and seriously keep these comrades in your prayers. I have to go to a meeting next week, and so I'm just going to give Keith and Eddie the night off. We're going to lick our wounds and then come back strong the following week. But we're going to have a great show. I'm telling you, a great show next week. It's going to be previously aired broadcast, but it's going to be some you haven't heard in a long, long time. It's going to be very special ones. So you're not going to want to miss that. And then I'll see you 2 weeks from tonight. We'll be back on the air live. Love you, everybody. God bless you. James Edwards signing off.